Our gospel lesson, this is our gospel lesson for today, okay? Gospel lesson from Mark chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. It's not the lectionary reading, but it is a reading for us as we continue our reflection on the parables of Jesus. So again, Mark chapter 4, verses 1 through 9, and as I read these probably familiar words, listen for something new that's being spoken into your life and into your heart on this particular day. Again, he began to teach beside the sea. Such a very large crowd gathered around him that he got into a boat on the sea and sat there while the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. He began to teach them many things in parables, and in his teachings he said to them, "Listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell on the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where it did not have much soil, and it sprang up quickly, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. Other seed fell into the good soil and brought forth grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30 and 60 and 100-fold. And he said, let anyone with ears to hear listen." Friends, this is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. All right, if you remember a few years back, we worked our way through part of Anthony DeMello's kind of classic spiritual guide, Wellsprings. And we spent a number of weeks talking about that. Well, I want to draw out something from that book. And I just want to share this with you as we think about this parable that is before us today. DeMello, in his book, in all of his books, continually prompts the reader to think through their life and to think through their faith. And at the conclusion of the first chapter of his book, he puts this out there for your consideration. As you're thinking about your life, he says, "I choose an ending for this document." And by document, he means his autobiography. "I choose a poem, my own or someone else's, or a prayer, a sketch or a picture from a magazine, a scripture text, or anything that I judge would be an apt conclusion to my testament." Just keep that in your mind just for a moment. Okay. One day Jesus went out, and he sat in a boat on the edge of the water there in the Sea of Galilee, near the northern tip of the Sea of Galilee. And folks gathered around on the shore, and he used the boat kind of as a pulpit of sorts. And Mark says that he told them parables. He told them parables. He told them stories. Parables are stories. Stories about life. And you know, parables and stories in general are powerful things. Stories can move you. They can transport you to another world. They can move our minds to new way of thinking. New ways of thinking and understanding. And 2 weeks ago, we began kind of thinking through the parables of Jesus. And we looked first, 2 weeks ago, at Matthew 13. If you look at Matthew 13, it's just one parable after the next. Boom, 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 boom. And we went through those back then. Last week, we moved from Matthew's gospel to Luke's gospel. And we looked at the classic story about the Good Samaritan. Classic parable. Well, today I want us to move back to Mark. And another parable. Today I want you to think about a sower that went out to sow. All right. It's called the parable of the sower. Okay? Pretty simple. But do you know what the parable is about? It's about sowing. I know. Really. It's about sowing, but it's also about the kingdom of God. Every parable is about the kingdom of God. I'm going to let you in on a little secret. Whether it's a person going from Jerusalem to Jericho who falls among robbers, it's a woman who loses a coin, it's a little leaven, it's the mustard seed, all about the kingdom of God. Stories. And each story kind of comes at that understanding in a different way. So a sower went out to sow. The kingdom of God is a cosmic conspiracy of goodness that was and still is in the process of refreshing creation. You know, the reign of God. So they asked him, "Tell us about the kingdom." And he would think of a new story. He'd think of some other way to present this idea to him. It's like someone who goes out and sows seed. And as he sows, some seed falls on the path. Other seed falls on rocky ground. Other seed falls among thorns. Other seed falls on good soil. And they could picture it. Can you picture the scene? Jesus said, do you see the way the kingdom of God is? And he throws it out. It's directional, folks. It's directional. That's what the kingdom of God is. Centrifugal force. It goes out. But there's more. There's more. And I didn't read it this morning, but I could have. I could have continued on to verses 13 through 20. But that's part two. Part two. Part one, verses 1 through 9, is the parable proper. Okay? Part two, verses 13 through 20, is the allegorical interpretation of the parable. The first nine verses are about sowing, the parable of the sower, and ends with this admonition: let anyone with ears to hear listen. Verses 13 through 20 change things up a bit. They change the focus, and the focus becomes on the soil. The soil in which the seed was sown. Okay, let me just read some of this to you to kind of get you to taste this. And he said to them, do you not understand this parable? Then how will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. These are the ones on the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground. When they hear the word, they immediately receive it with joy, but they have no root and endure only for a while. Then when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are those sown among the thorns. These are the ones who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth and the desire for other things come in and choke the word, and it yields nothing. And these are the ones sown on the good soil. They hear the word and accept it and bear fruit, 30 and 60 and 100-fold. It's very interesting to me, folks, because we barely notice that. We barely notice that difference between the first nine verses and the rest of the story. In fact, maybe most of us never notice it. But the direction of the story changes. Suddenly the focus is back on self. Back on self. Did you see that? Okay, it's interesting. Now, most of us know the gospel passage this morning as the parable of the sower. But what we focus on is the allegory of the soils. We say things like, I know those type people. They're beaten down path people. They never go to church. Or maybe they're rocky ground people, rootless people, thorn people even. We've seen their type before, we say. They're not like we are. No, no, no. Because we are, we're good soil people. Right? Anyway, Jesus says, try to envision this. A sower went out to sow, and as she did so indiscriminately. And grace went everywhere. That's a big difference. A big difference. You know, one thing we notice early on in the gospel is that Jesus has a boundary problem. He has a boundary problem. He would not be a good social distancer. No way. No way. Anyway, he doesn't understand the idea of insider and outsider. He just doesn't get that. You know, right off the bat, he gets it wrong. He invites fishermen. Come on, fishermen, tax collectors, you know, to be representatives of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God on earth. But why didn't he call a priest? Why didn't he call the Levites? Why didn't he call the church folks? And it gets worse. He reaches out to Gentiles. Come on. Those who are of a totally different religious persuasion. Not God's people. In fact, he even warns the faithful to be careful because they just might have it all wrong. He welcomes the sinners. He works on the Sabbath. And then he breaks all the rules by redefining what family is. That sacrosanct familial relationship. His mothers and brothers and sisters are outside and they called, hey, your family's here. Who are my mother, my brother, my sisters? He said, these are my brothers and my sisters. And you know, we've talked about it all ad nauseum across the years. The point of sowing is a very simple one. It's coverage. It's coverage. The hardest part of grace for us to understand is that it's not about effectiveness. It's not about efficiency. It's about faithfulness. You know, the parable of the sower is a call to faithfulness. The allegory of the soils may be descriptive of reality, but they're not instructive for us, the church. And the two must never be confused or conflated. All right. You know, I get the feeling after reading the rest of the gospel that maybe the reason Jesus introduces the idea of the soils is because the parable of the sower is just too much for folks to handle. After all, whoever heard of sowing without regard for yield? Doesn't make sense. So maybe Jesus just tries to soften it up a bit. Sure, you'll get yield, he says, but the yield might be inconsistent, you know, and come from, you know, different places. You don't get worked up about the yield. You know, kind of soften a little bit. Forget that today. Forget that for our conversation today. No, we're sowers. Don't worry about the soils. A sower went out to sow. That is a story that is descriptive of our lives. We are sowers, and what we sow is grace. You know, every time I preach on this parable, I like to point out that across the ages, across the world, people and churches have heard this parable. 2,000 years. And for the most part, at least up until the Industrial Revolution, everyone who heard this parable understood the mechanics of it. Everyone who knew it knew how to do it. They knew how to sow. And I mean, it was a very, very simple concept in this part of the world at this point in time. You go out and you start slinging seed in every possible direction, knowing full well that not all seed will take, but hoping that at least some of it will. Do you understand what I'm saying? Jesus asked. Do you understand? If you have understanding, listen. A sower went out to sow. The problem that day as he sat in the boat in the northern tip of the Sea of Galilee wasn't that folks there gathered around him didn't know how to sow. No. The problem was they did know how to sow. They knew exactly how to sow, but they were choosing not to do so. That was unacceptable. Unacceptable to Jesus. Back to DeMello's question. I choose an ending for this document, a poem, my poem or someone else's, or a prayer, a sketch or a picture from a magazine, a scripture text, or anything that I judge would be an apt conclusion to my testament, to my life. We are sowers. That's our text. We are sowers. That's our picture. That's the capstone of our testament. When we look back across our lives and assess our lives and wrestle with how we have used this one short and precious gift, maybe this image is what we need to have in mind. The sower. We sow grace in our world with reckless abandon. That's what we do. Period. This parable is a how-to guide. It's a how-to guide. We sow goodness. We're not called upon to assess the soil in advance. Okay? We're not called upon to get everything just right before we plant. We're not concerned about rows and spacings and order. We don't even care if the seed lands in completely barren places. That's not our concern. That's not our concern. We are sowers. And what we sow is called compassion. It's called mercy. It's called authenticity. It's called friendship. It's called being human. Have you ever done a grace audit? John Wesley was big on stuff like this. And that DeMello's prompt brings that idea up. Wesley used to ask his fellow folks, members of his bands and his groups, he would say, "What have you done this week to extend the kingdom of God?" Maybe not in those exact words. What have you done? And they would go around the room and they would answer. And maybe they'd say, "I haven't done anything this week." "Well, next week we'll check with you again." Because that's what you do. That's what you do. You sow grace. Grace audit. It sounds like the Lenten question, doesn't it? It sounds like what we were talking about last Ash Wednesday. You know, making the list, things we want to change, things we want to do during the next 40 days. Well, the bottom line is this. The kingdom of God is not effective. It's not efficient. It doesn't follow commonly accepted business practices and strategies. In fact, it is lavishly wasteful. Lavishly wasteful. It is as if a sower went out to sow seed and it went everywhere. And the miracle is that some of the seed finds a home and changes the world. And there is no doubt about it, the gospel's messy. It's very, very messy, but it's also incredibly beautiful. Because just when you least expect it, the kingdom of God happens. If you don't believe it, look around you. And I will say this, I saw it here in this room yesterday when we gathered to celebrate the life of Helen McFarland. I saw the kingdom that she had sown across the many years. It was amazing. We're sowers. That's what we do. We can't stop. So, the charge to you today is this. Go and sow. Thanks be to God. Amen.